But I used to take my nephew to the zoo, and any of you who become parents, I recommend the zoo because it's cheap and because it's wonderful. And you can teach a kid a lot about animals, but mostly I loved it. But we used to go to the zoo winter, summer, spring and fall, rain, shine, snow. We would go all the time because the animals are very different. You know how you, if you go in the summer, like the polar bears really do suffer a lot because it's just too hot. It just is too hot. And for those of you from the Bronx Zoo, you know, the polar bears suffer. But if you go like now, the polar bears are out and it's wonderful. I think that it was wrong, by the way, that's another discussion. I think it was wrong for them to kill those bears when, you know, if those kids couldn't read, damn it, they understand a fence. When you climb over one fence, jump over one chasm, climb over another fence, right? And then the bear kills, eats you, which is what the bear is supposed to do. What do you think the bear is going to do? I mean, it's like, Marcel, Ma, you know, I mean, you're there. And then they shot the bears. That really hurt because the bear was just being a bear. It really was. But that's something else entirely different. Anyway, now it just makes you mad because you said every year, you know, you go out, for those of you who drive out west, you do this this spring, and you go out to Old Faithful, right? Sign says, do not. You know what that means? It means don't. Do not cross this fence. Some asshole will invariably do that, get burned and killed by the guys. Somebody said, the guys are killing him. No, that was suicide. What is he doing? No. No, I was up in Alaska. I took my kid up when he was in the fifth grade because he started studying glaciers. I thought, be a good parent. Let the kid see a glacier. Right? No, you want to do the right thing. You do. I mean, first of all, I didn't own anything until a long time. And it was like, the kid gets to see a glacier, I get to have a car. So we went to see the glaciers. Just so you understand my priorities, I frankly think they were right. But you go up to like the Mendenhall, right? The sign says, do not walk out onto the glacier. It's so basic. It's not even hard to read. Big block print. Invariably, somebody walks out there, the glacier goes, and they get killed. And people say, how did they get killed? They walked out into the glacier. Now, I'm always amazed at things like that. But I used to take my kid, Christopher, to the zoo. And one day it was raining, there was nothing to do in the house. And he's talking about that Christopher Robin thing. He used to have a little yellow rain hat, if you remember those, and little yellow raincoats, right? I said, Chris, let's go to the zoo because it's raining. We'll get to see who's out and who does what in the rain because the monkeys will go out, other animals will, you know, and it's great fun. Okay, so we got on our rain gear, we go out to the zoo. Now, we both like cotton candy. I don't think anybody here who's under 40 knows cotton candy, in all fairness. Because that crap, no, that crap they show you all, no. It's pre-made and it's rubberized and it will never melt. You gotta have cotton candy where they pour, okay? You do, all right. Because that's, no, I've been to fairs and stuff where they have pre-made cotton candy, it's unbelievable. So Chris and I are at the zoo and it's raining, you know. And we go up, we decide, okay, we've seen everything, let's get some cotton candy. Cotton candy is a quarter at those times. It shows you my age. If I hadn't already told you, now, no. Cotton candy is a quarter. We go up to the cotton candy window. It says cotton candy hot dogs. You know what I'm saying? And I said, two cotton candies, please. Lady said, it's raining. I thought that was friendly. I said, yeah. I was out there. She was in there. I said, yeah, it is. Two cotton candies, please. You know how people talk to you when you're not quite bright? No, it's true. She said, you know, as in, it's raining. I thought, well, she's got a real, you know, thing about the rain. I said, right, but, you know, you're thinking, because I'm black, maybe I'm paranoid, but, you know, it's like, here, let me show her I have the money. You see what I'm saying? No, because you just don't want a problem. What you want is two cotton candies, please. She said, you know, as if in dummy. We don't do cotton candy on rainy days. And so I looked there, you know, you look back, the sign says cotton candy, I don't understand. It will melt. You know, and like at this point, I'm sure she just wanted to go whop, you know, why the hell don't you? And I'm going like, right, but you sell cotton candy, I'm buying cotton candy. What is it to you what happens to my cotton candy? It's totally baffling. What does she care? And she, it won't last. I'm going, right. Two cotton candies, please. She did not. She would not make cotton candy, right? And that was her position. It won't last. That stuck with me. I didn't write this poem until almost 20 years later. That stuck with me so long. The whole idea that you can't do something because it won't last. I thought, well, what does? Does that mean we shouldn't fall in love? Because it won't last, and it won't. For those of you who are 18, 19, and 20, believe it, it won't last. Should we refuse? Now, you see what I'm saying? I'm not being smart here. Should we really refuse to look at a sunset? Because it won't, what will last? What should we do here? And it bothered me so much. I wrote a poem called Cotton Candy on a rainy day. Don't look now, I'm fading away into the gray of my mornings or the blues of every night. Is it that my nails keep breaking, or maybe the corn on my second little piggy? Things keep popping out on my face or of my life. It seems no matter how I try, I become more difficult to hold. I am not an easy woman to want. They have asked the psychiatrists, psychologists, politicians, and social workers what this decade will be known for. There is no doubt it is loneliness. If loneliness were a grape, the wine would be vintage. If it were a wood, the furniture would be mahogany. But since it is life, it is cotton candy on a rainy day, the sweet, soft essence of possibility, never quite maturing. I have prided myself on being in that great tradition, albeit circus, that the show must go on, though in my community the vernacular is one monkey don't stop the show. We all line up at some midway point to thread our way through the boredom and futility, looking for the blue ribbon and gold medal. Mostly, these are seen as food labels. We are consumed by people who sing the same old song, Stay, As Sweet As You Are, In My Corner, or perhaps just a little bit longer. But whatever you do, don't change. Baby, baby, don't change. Well, something needs to change. Everything, some say, will change. I need a change of pace, face, attitude, and life, though I long for my loneliness. I know I need something or someone, or I strangle my words as easily as I do my tears. I stifle my screams as frequently as I flash my smile. It means nothing. I am cotton candy on a rainy day, the unrealized dream of an idea unborn. I share with the painters the desire to put a three-dimensional picture on a one-dimensional surface. I'm going to read a couple of love poems because it's getting cold. And it is. I never did understand why people wanted to be in love in the spring. You know, you can find somebody every day. It's, no, you can't. No, this weather, I mean, now, this time of year, you just got to find yourself somebody, because who wants to be hunting? You know what I'm saying? I think that men are wonderful creations. I sometimes guys think I get on them. But if it's one, in all fairness, and the guys will go boo, okay? So it's only fair. But if it's two things that we know that men are absolutely indispensable for, it's that they can light a fire. A baby who can barely speak, who has no teeth, will go to the fireplace and light a fire and it'll burn all day. Grown women with fire starter will never be able to. Haven't you noticed that? That's the fact. And two, they're wonderful to put your cold feet on because men are always warm. But you gotta know them to do that, you know what I mean? So, no, you can't just sort of go to the dance. Hey, honey, can I put my feet on you? No. You gotta have a relationship here. I know the guy's gonna boo, but it's okay. That's true. And for that reason alone, we wouldn't let you leave us. I wrote a love poem, actually. It's called Winter Poem. Once, a snowflake fell on my brow, and I loved it so much. And I kissed it, and it was happy and called its cousins and brothers. And a web of snow engulfed me then. I reached to love them all, and I squeezed them. And they became a spring rain. And I stood perfectly still and was a flower. It's nice and clean. I only want to be there to kiss you as you want to be kissed when you need to be kissed, where I want to kiss you because it's my house and I plan to live in it. I really need to hug you when I want to hug you as you like to hug me. Does this sound like a silly poem? I mean, it's my house. And I want to fry pork chops and bake sweet potatoes and call them yams, because I run the kitchen and I can stand the heat. I spent all winter in carpet stores gathering patches so I could make a quilt. Does this really sound like a silly poem? I mean, I want to keep you warm. And my windows might be dirty, but it's my house. And if I can't see out sometimes, they can't see in either. English isn't a good language to express emotion through. Mostly, I imagine, because people try to speak English instead of trying to speak through it. I don't know. Maybe this is a silly poem. I'm saying it's my house, And I'll make fudge and call it love and touch my lips to the chocolate warmth and smile at old men and call that revolution, cause what's real is really real. And I still like men in tight pants, cause everybody has something to give and, more important, needs something to take. And this is my house, and you make me happy, so this is your poem. Thank you. I'm going to close on one of my favorite poems. It's a poem called Ego Tripping. And I love it. To some degree, somebody said to me, this is a rap. And to some degree, it's a rap, but mostly it is a poem. But mostly what I did, for those of us who know old black folk legends, you know that the men always have, and rap has been in the community so long, we just recently got to the point, Sylvia, of Mickey and Sylvia, for those of you who are my age, is the one who started recording Sugar Hill Gang, and we took it someplace else, which is where I think it should be, and it's fine. I'm not a rap fan because I'm old. And no generation, haven't you noticed that? No generation likes the younger generation's music. It just never will, it never has, and it never will. We always want our own music. Everybody does. I mean, my idea of let's listen to some wonderful music, honey, and my son is 20, is let's put the Dells on, you know, and he's going like, what is that, you know? I say, stay in my corner. Whoa, whoa. I like Prince, and that's the truth, but I like old Prince. I don't like new Prince, and I don't know what that means, but probably I'm a dirty, I mean, I like morning, noon, and night, you kid. I mean, you know, he's nice, you know. Do me, baby. We went to a Prince concert, and you could tell all the old ladies, by the way, it was down at the Coliseum in Cincinnati, which seats, what, 40,000 people? You could identify every old lady because he started to do me, baby, and all of us were going. It's true. that's the truth. I wrote a poem because it seemed to me that little girls didn't have any way of saying who they're coming from. When I was growing up, and probably when you all too, little girls did things like, you know, little Sally Walker sitting in a saucer. And it seemed like all the little girl things were always, you know, looking, you know, rising to the east and west and looking for someone to take care of. I mean, the whole Cinderella myth, someday my prince, you get so tired of that. And Sleeping Beauty is like, you know, laid out there. And that other one with the dwarfs, Snow White. You know, you got so tired of thinking if you were a girl, all you're supposed to do is wait for some boy to come along and save you. I'm not against boys and boys saving people, but, you know, if I was a man, I'd be tired of that. You know, he said, what are you going to do today, Prince? Well, I'm going to go save them. No, women have a right to be themselves and to do their own thing. My son, speaking to Thomas, my son had a friend named Nina, and they were the same age, and they would play pilot because Thomas had a plane freak. And they would play, you know, they would take the pillows and sit there. And I'd say, what are you doing, Nina? Because Nina would get up and start to come back and get the refreshments, right? I couldn't believe it. She says, you know, I'm the stewardess. I said, why come you're not the pilot? She said, oh, Thomas would be upset. I said, Nina, you know, I mean, and this is my own child. But, you know, you go make him let you fly this damn plane. You know. Say, good Lord. No, I mean, they could trade off, for Christ's sake. But I wanted to write a poem. I wanted to write a poem so the girls could say, this is who I am. You know, I'm coming from someplace. So I wrote a poem called Ego Tripping, because I was just simply tracing civilization, actually on the black woman. One of the things that I'm happy about with this poem, and it was a bonus to me, is, and I think it's true, when you do something from love, from your heart, you are not offending other people. I think this is a very inclusive poem. But basically, what I did was trace civilization through the black female. I'm very fortunate for those of you who are into anthropology that you now know that Edward Leakey and company has discovered that the bones of the earliest human being that we know to be a human being, the bones of Lucy, were discovered in the Congo Basin, which makes my poem very sound. I like to think that perhaps, you know what I'm saying, Leakey was reading some poetry one night and saying, what did Giovanni say? Maybe we should look there. It makes me feel good. I read this poem for about 10 years before they actually discovered Lucy, but I knew that I was right, because if I would be God, in all fairness, I would have invented the black woman. Nothing would have stopped me from doing that. I'd wake up and say, whoa, a black woman, then we'll deal with the rest of these folks, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It could not go wrong. cannot go wrong. I mean, you have to give God credit. He could not go wrong with us, and clearly he's going to do this. I wrote a poem called Ego Tripping. There may be a reason why. I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built the Sphinx. I designed a pyramid so tough that a star that only glows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine, perfect light. I am bad. I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pains created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert. With a packet of goat's meat and a change of clothes, I crossed it in 2 hours. I am a gazelle. So swift, you can't catch me. For a birthday present when he was 3, I gave my son Hannibal an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. My strength flows ever on. My son Noah built Newark, and I stood proudly at the helm as we sailed on a soft summer day. I turned myself into myself and was Jesus, Menantone, my loving name. All praises, I am the one who would save. I sowed diamonds in my backyard. My bowels deliver uranium. The filings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. On a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair from my head thinned and gold was laid across 3 continents. I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal, I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky.
World Student Program Board would like to thank you for attending, and I don't know if Ms. Giovanni would like to answer any questions, but when she comes back, we'll see if anyone would like to address her. Do you want to answer any questions? Do you have any questions? Anyone? Okay, well, thank you.